Hello, everybody. My name is Judy, and I am a food addict. That's how I declare myself. And I truly belong here, and I'm going to prove it to you by telling you my story. So, first of all, I came from a family that was pretty dysfunctional. My mother, my brother, and I were all food addicts. My mother was a gambling addict. My father was an alcoholic and a rageaholic. So we all had our stuff. My mother, my brother, and I ate together a lot. And yet we had plenty of separate binges. In other words, we ate together, we ate a lot, we enjoyed our food, but then we were all such addicts that we went off and had our own binges. And I always thought my brother wasn't very smart because he left the empty boxes of Entenmann's in his room, whereas I crumpled up every paper inside of something else, stuffed it inside of something else, and stuffed it into the garbage. I wasn't going to be discovered, although my size kept growing. Actually, though, for most of my childhood, I was chubby. I definitely was chubby and felt different than everybody else. But my mother and my brother were both obese. So I always had that to compare to, like, well, I'm not as bad as they are. But that wasn't true because I was chubbier than everybody else in my class and everything. And I didn't notice it right away. But then, you know, kids will be kids. They started pointing it out to me. I remember one time they weighed us. I don't know, it was probably one of those physical education things where they, you know, they make you do a certain amount of exercise. They weigh you, they measure you. And at the time, I don't know what grade I was in, like maybe fifth grade, I was 100 pounds. And I thought, oh, I'm 100 pounds. And one of the other girls said to me, you're 100 pounds. That's awful. Like, I didn't even know. I didn't know what was good or bad. And like I said, my mother was obese. She wore those muumuu things. She was the kind of person that when we went, I had to every, autumn when I went school shopping, we would go to the mall to get clothes. I knew I had a half an hour at most for her to be able to walk around, after which time she was going to say, I can't do this anymore. We have to go home. So I had to learn to be efficient. And then when I got to be a teenager, she was thrilled because she didn't have to go with me. I could go with my friend, except that I was much more interested in the record department than I was in the clothing department. Gave me a lot more pleasure. Anyway, so you would think, or I certainly would think that living with an obese mother who stood out, everybody knew her. She was the biggest person I knew, and my overweight brother, that I would shy away from that. But in actual fact, food was my coping mechanism. That's how I dealt with anything in my life. Any kind of discomfort, that was how I soothed myself. And, you know, looking back, I forgive myself. I had to find a way to soothe myself. And there are obviously other ways to do it, but that was the one I could come up with. And it was the tastiest and it was the easiest. And it worked for a while. As I got older and older, it worked. But now, as a teenager and as a 20 something, it made me, you know, overweight and unpleasant and just plain fat. And that's not what I wanted to be. So I tried lots of different diets. I never did anything really extreme like pills or anything like that. But I did, you know, the Stillman diet, the whatever, Weight Watchers diet, all the different kinds of diets, the grapefruit diet, the cabbage diet, you know, all the ones they had. The best were those little AIDS candies. You remember those? You just had to, you could eat those candies if you had hot water. How that was going to help me lose weight, I don't know, because it tasted pretty good to me. So none of these things worked for long term, because anytime I lost weight, I thought, oh, now I can eat again. I didn't get the idea that I had to change myself. I didn't, that it had to change permanently, but, and I wasn't willing anyway, because that was, I didn't know what else to do. I first heard about OA when I was a teenager. At that point, I was going through an atheist period where I didn't believe in God. I was kind of bitter, like, you know, the world wouldn't be like this if there was a God, blah, blah, blah. And my cousin told me about this program where you go to these churches. I'm a Jew, and they go into churches. And I'm an atheist. They're going to be talking about God, and that's how I'm going to lose weight. Oh, no, not interested. This Jewish atheist is not going to a church to talk about God so that she can lose weight. I wanted to lose weight, but that was crazy. So I rejected that. It took many, many years for me to come into OA, but I had to change a lot and go through a lot. So I think the first time I came into OA for real, the very first real the meeting I came to was in 1983. I went with two people from work. We went to a lunchtime meeting in Manhattan, cute little church, Moravian church, really close to where I worked in the Empire State Building. And we walked over there and we went to this meeting, and it was a huge circle of people, and they were talking about their food addiction. And I heard people talking about food the way that I felt about it for the first time. I was shocked. I didn't know anybody else thought about food that way. My one friend was a bulimic, and the other friend just wanted to lose a few pounds. When we came out of the meeting, the one who just wanted to lose a few pounds said to us, "What the hell were they talking about? You know, eating when they weren't hungry, eating out of the garbage. What were they talking about?" We just looked at him and said, "You don't need this." And we started to go to OA, and we kind of dabbled. We used to go every Friday night to St. Jean's, which is on East 76th Street. And we used to go after work. We'd go up there and go to a couple of meetings. I think there were two meetings in a row, and we would go. But I don't remember ever participating. I mean, I had my books and I listened and I got stuff out of it, but I didn't really jump in, you know. My toe was in the pool, and you get what you put in, really. That's really the truth. I didn't put a whole lot into it. But I also am one of those people that believe nothing is wasted. So that was the beginning. Those were the seeds being planted for me. And so after that, I was in and out a million times. It seemed like a million times over the years, in and out. So that was, like I said, 1983. I got married in 1984. I started binging my brains out when I got engaged, and I started really, really eating seriously. And I have to tell you, my marriage was not a big success, not just because of my eating. In fact, my eating got worse because of my marriage. You know, I can't blame him entirely, because I started out that way. You know, he didn't make me that way. He just exacerbated it for me. He was a real control freak and withholder. Anyway, so, and then I had a child in 1988. All this time, keep coming in and out for a little bit, getting a little abstinence, getting a sponsor, screwing it up, you know, intentionally or unintentionally. Had a really wonderful sponsor. I don't know why I screwed it up. I know it was me and not her. She was terrific. So in and out, in and out, and in and out. And then I left. I'd had enough. I didn't want to do it. I hated it. Don't tell me this is forever. I really, really hate it. So I just stopped coming. I wasn't interested. I wasn't going to do it. And lo and behold, something like 10 years later, I find myself over 300 pounds. I'm bending down to pick up a laundry basket, and my whole back goes out. And I mean, it was no big deal. It was just like nothing. It wasn't a heavy basket. There wasn't anything. And I remember at that moment, I got scared. I thought, you know, obese people don't there's not a lot of elderly obese people. I'm not going to live very long. I'm going to die. I got to do something. And I started asking God for help. I'm like, God, I can't do this. I don't know what to do. And the next thing I knew, I was driving to an OA meeting that I knew about from years ago. And I walked in and they were doing step two. Came to believe that a power greater than yourself could restore you to sanity. And I thought, oh my God, that's so true. I can't do it. Oh, wow. And then somebody agreed to be my sponsor. And she told me to call her the next day. And I freaked out like you wouldn't believe. And I was like, oh, I got to eat everything in sight. Ah, you know, and I don't know if I want to do what she's doing. And but I called her and I started working a program and I got abstinent the very next day. And I started working a program. Now there's abstinence and abstinence, at least in my mind. My abstinence, the person who was my sponsor was a How person. And I don't know if you know about How down here in South Jersey or Central Jersey, but How is, they call themselves How, honest, open-minded and willing, but it's a little bit stricter and it's not really that strict anyway. It's just it's a more precise food plan, weighing and measuring, and then, you know, using as many of the tools as possible and, you know, doing service and sponsoring. And I did not want to do that. Oh, I did not want to give up bread. I did not want to do those things. And she agreed to work with me. She agreed to work with me without me being How. And we worked together really well for, I don't know, maybe 6 months. But she started criticizing my food. And I knew that was dangerous because if she starts criticizing my food and I start defending my food, thank you. And I start defending my food, then I'm in trouble. Well, anyway, since I only have 3 minutes left, I got to jump forward and say that I had an abstinence of sort for about 6 months after that, I got a new sponsor who I worked with for 10 years. And she, after 10 years, she was so fantastic. But after 10 years, she dropped me via email and I flipped out and I picked up. And that was in 2013. And fortunately, in 2013, a woman called me out of the blue. And she was somebody that had been thinking about asking to sponsor me. And so I asked her to sponsor me. And she said yes. And then I found out she was a How person. And she started telling me, do this, do that, do this, do that. And I was like, oh, my God, I hate How. And then I thought, Judy, you're in relapse. God sent you a sponsor. Somebody you thought about, she's offered, do not look a gift horse in the mouth, just do it. So I've been How abstinence since November of 2013. This is the longest abstinence I've ever had. And when I tell you, I've been in the rooms for 40 years, right? Because I came in originally in 1983. I'm a really slow learner. But for me, why do I do this? And, you know, I sort of painted myself into a hole, so I can't really tell you, but can't tell you everything. But what I want to tell you is that it's changed my life. I left that 33 and a half year toxic marriage, went back to graduate school at one point and got a teaching certificate. I didn't end up teaching per se, although I did end up teaching English as a second language and citizenship. Not to children like I had wanted to, but I got divorced. I got a full-time job in Manhattan. Now I have a full-time job here in New Jersey. I've done things that I haven't done in years. And the truth is, I'm a better person. I'm a happier person. I have this belief in my higher power. I have trust in my higher power. You know, I think I'm a kinder person. I do a lot of service. I sponsor. I have a sponsor. I read, I write. I do an action plan. I'm trying to think of all the, what did I leave anything out? I go to meetings, obviously, but I do this because it's not easy. I do not go to sleep without doing my 10th step. Even if I fall asleep on the couch and wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, I get up and I do it because I do it for me. I do it for my, thank you. I do it for my recovery, for myself. So thank you for letting me share.